Good morning. How are you? This morning, something funny happened to me. I went through the drive-thru at McDonald's. I had my daughter with me and coming for the first service, and she wanted something. Debbie and I had already eaten breakfast, but we went through the drive-thru, and the fellow at the drive-thru was looking at me kind of odd, and then he said to me, "You're the mean guy at the church, aren't you?" And so I said, excuse me? He said, "You're the mean guy at the church, aren't you?" And I repeated it because I thought, surely I'm misunderstanding. And I said, "I'm the mean guy at the church?" He said, "No, the main guy at the church." So I said, "Yeah, I'm the main guy at the church." So, actually, I when I drove away, I got to thinking, I'm really not the main guy. You're the main guy. You know that, don't you? Because Gateway Church will never do what we're going to do without you having a vital relationship with Jesus Christ. Every one of you. And I appreciate you being here today very much. I'm grateful that you come. I'm grateful that you read your Bible, that you bring your Bible, that you want to go deeper with the Lord. I'm very, very grateful. I would like to ask you, though, to pray for me and my family. We, this last spring, went through some warfare, going through some more warfare now. And last spring, a minister called me and said, "You need to ask every person in the church to do something that a pastor in Colombia did." And this pastor in Colombia asked every person in his church, when you pray and bless your meal, to simply bless his family. When you pray over your meal and say, "Lord, we ask you to bless the food," to simply say, "And would you bless Pastor Robert and his family?" And I mean, I was told this last spring, and I've been thinking about it, and I thought, you know, I just don't know if I want to do that. I mean, it kind of sounds selfish to ask the whole church to pray for me. And since then, though, I've decided I want to. So when you bless your meal, would you just bless us, but also the church, Gateway, or whatever's on your heart? In other words, don't just pray a regular, the same prayer every time. When you bless the food, bless someone else as well, whoever's on your heart. Would you do that? All right, turn to Mark chapter 9. And we're in a series entitled Discovering the Divine. Now, the reason we entitled it this is because I want us to look at actual everyday encounters that Jesus had with people and discover God, learn more about God, how he responds. These were real people with real problems that came up to Jesus, and we look at how he responded to them. Now, this passage that we're going to read today is in other Gospels as well, but I decided to read it out of Mark 9. It is the longest account of this story that happened. I decided to read it, though, because I want the details of this account. I hope that you never get bored reading the Bible. I don't know if you know this, but it is even being stated in some church growth arenas now that you need to read the Bible less and less in church. And I just want us to be careful that we never get bored by reading Scripture. Because the Bible is life and health to us. These words that I speak into you, they are life and they are health. So I want us to do that. So as we're reading this, I want you to allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you as well. All right? You may see some things that I don't even see in this passage. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you. Mark chapter 9, verse 14. This is, but before we start reading, by the way, this is right after the Mount of Transfiguration. Okay? Jesus is coming down off the mountain with three of his disciples, Peter, James, and John. He's just been talking with the Father and with Moses and Elijah. And he has Peter, James, and John with him. So it's the other nine disciples that this happened to, all right? Verse 14, "And when he came to the disciples, he saw a great multitude around them and scribes disputing or arguing with them. Immediately when they saw him, all the people were greatly amazed and running to him, greeted him. And he asked the scribes, 'What are you discussing with them, or my disciples? What are you discussing with my disciples?' Then one of the crowd answered and said, 'Teacher, I brought you my son who has a mute spirit. And wherever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth, gnashes at his teeth, and becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they could not.' He answered him and said, 'O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me.' Then they brought him to him, and when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth. So he asked his father, how long has this been happening to him? And he said, from childhood. And often he's thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter him no more. Then the spirit cried out, convulsed him greatly, and came out of him, and he became as one dead, so that many said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he'd come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could we not cast it out? So he said to them, this kind can come out by nothing but prayer and fasting. All right, here's some things I think we can learn from this passage. Number one, sickness can be a spiritual attack. There are several instances in the Bible when sickness was a spiritual attack. Not always a spiritual attack, but it can be a spiritual attack. Let me show you a scripture. James chapter 5, verse 14 says, is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. That's where most people stop. But notice the next verse. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. If is a big word here. If he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. In other words, when a sick person comes and says, I need prayer, it could be, there could be a sin that's causing that, but not always, because of the word if. It doesn't say, and since he's committed sins, they'll be forgiven. No, it says, and if he has committed sins, he'll be forgiven. Why? Because he's humbling himself, coming and asking for prayer. And the next verse says, confess your faults to one another that you may be healed. We need to realize in the church today, sickness is not always a result of sin, direct sin, but it can be a spiritual attack. In this instance, it doesn't say that this boy had done anything wrong. I don't think there was any sin in his life, but he was being spiritually attacked. He was actually being demonically attacked. Have you considered that option when you're dealing with whatever sickness or whatever thing is afflicting you? Have you considered that it could be a demonic spirit actually attacking you, and are you coming against that? This is the Bible that we're talking about. Let me show you a few more instances where we know that a demonic spirit caused a sickness. Luke chapter 13, verse 10. He was teaching one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bent over and could in no way raise herself up. A spirit of infirmity. This is the Bible. So we know there's a spirit of infirmity. Matthew 9, verse 32. As they went out, behold, they brought to him a man mute and demon-possessed. And when the demon was cast out, the mute spoke. And the multitudes marveled, saying, it was never seen like this in Israel. Acts 10:38. We know how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and, watch carefully, healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And then back in Mark 9, verse 22, the father said, often he's thrown him both in the fire and into the water to destroy him. This spirit threw him in the water and threw him in the fire, tried to drown him, tried to burn him to death to destroy him. This should not surprise us that demonic spirits want to destroy us. That's what they want to do. They want to attack your family. They want to attack your finances. They want to attack your health. They want to attack your relationships. They want to attack your job. They want to attack every area of your life. And they will attack your health. And so many times when we have a health issue, the first thing we do is to try to treat it medically instead of try to treat it spiritually. I want you to see by this passage, it is possible. It is possible for any sickness or any attack to be a demonic attack or to be a spiritual attack. I do want you to notice something, though. Jesus did not, on any of these people here, he knew that it was a demonic attack, and he did not attack the person. Amen. Listen carefully. He attacked the demonic spirit, not the person. The sad thing in the church is that when God restored the truth about healing and the truth about demonic attacks, that unfortunately many people then would pray for someone and they wouldn't get healed. And the person then that prayed, out of his own embarrassment, would say, well, if you had enough faith, well, you must have sin, and would put the blame on the person. I want you to read these Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You will never find Jesus condemning people. He did not come to condemn people. Here's what the Bible says. God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that through Him they might believe. You want to know why? Because we're already condemned. We were already condemned. He didn't come to condemn us. He came to set us free. He came to save us. He came to help us. And if there's any group of people in the world that ought to have compassion on hurting people, it ought to be the church. So don't condemn someone. But what I'm saying is, if you're going through something, have you considered the possibility that it is a spiritual attack? And if sickness can be a spiritual attack, here's the second point. Sickness can be spiritually attacked. If it's an attack, then let's attack back. If we're being attacked, let's go back, go after it. Now, we can talk about all sorts of different ways that we can attack back. But Jesus names one here, and let's focus in on that one. I read it to you in Mark 9. Let me read a few verses of the same story from Matthew 17. Same story, but it'll give us a little more light. Matthew 17, verse 19. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, why could we not cast it out? So Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief. For assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. However, now this is right after, nothing will be impossible for you. However, or the condition is, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. Now, they asked a very straightforward question here. Why could we not cast it out? Jesus' response was not, I don't know. It was real simple. Because of your unbelief. And that's what He said. In other words, they asked a straightforward question. He gave a straightforward answer. Why couldn't we cast it out? Because of your unbelief. That's why. Because if you had faith as the tiniest of seeds, a mustard seed, you could move mountains and nothing would be impossible. However, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. Now, there are some lines of thought, schools of thought on this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. Some people believe that when it says this kind does not go out by prayer and fasting, that it's referring to this kind of demon. This kind of demonic spirit, this type of prolonged sickness, this type of stronghold that has been, this boy, I call it the tormented boy, but I really might have should have changed that, because actually we know this boy was a man. The father is very, you know, Jesus said, how long has this been happening? He says, from his childhood. He's past childhood. He's probably late teens or maybe in his 20s, you know, maybe even in his 30s, because it's been happening since his childhood. This kind of prolonged sickness, this kind of stronghold where a demon has been in place for several years, this kind only goes out by prayer and fasting. That's one school of thought. Another school of thought is this kind refers to unbelief. This kind of unbelief only goes out of you, because the reason you couldn't do it is because you had unbelief. This kind of unbelief only goes out by prayer and fasting. Another school of thought is faith. This kind of faith only builds by prayer and fasting. If you had faith, you could cast this spirit out. And this, so the only way that you can have that kind of faith is by prayer and fasting. So, does this kind refer to the demon, the unbelief, or faith? Well, here's my opinion. It doesn't matter. The answer is still prayer and fasting. So, that it's what you don't like. That's the point. Whether it's trying to overcome a spiritual stronghold, or whether it's trying to get unbelief out of your heart, or trying to get faith in, the answer is still prayer and fasting. That's it. Now let me explain something to you. Fasting without prayer is called dieting. It does not help you. It does no good at all. And I'm sorry to inform you of that if you've already fasted, but it doesn't help. It's prayer and fasting. The reason that we fast is to pull back from the world and press in to God. If you're going to fast, don't work through lunch. That is not prayer and fasting. Don't work an extra hour a day. Take your lunch break, drive to a park, get your Bible out, and spend time with God. That's prayer and fasting. Get up at the same time and take the 15, 20, 30 minutes that you would spend eating breakfast. Don't rush out the door and think, well, I can get to the office earlier because I'm not eating right now. You're missing the point. Jesus did not say this kind goes out by fasting. He said by prayer and fasting. So if you're going to fast, you need to pray. Now, I'll tell you something about fasting. I don't like it. I've never liked it. I like the results of it. I've seen the results of it in my life, but I don't like doing it. It's not an enjoyable thing to do. I've done some fasts over the years. I've done one 40-day fast. People ask me all the time, you know, and people say, well, how'd you do it? I did it with water and a little bit of juice for 40 days. People will ask me, well, what was your revelation? You know, I've always wanted to talk to someone who did a 40-day fast. What great revelation did you hear? Well, I got two revelations on my 40-day fast. One is that Jesus did a 40-day fast. Two is I've done mine. And I don't have to do another one. He already did. He only did one, and I did one, so it's over. That's the only two revelations I got out of it. I'm telling you the truth. Part of the reason was because I wasn't fasting for me. I was fasting because Bill Bright, years ago, who's with the Lord now, asked people to fast 40 days for our country. And I remember about 10 days in the fast, I said, God, I'm not hearing anything for me. And the Lord said, it's not for you. The fast isn't for you. It's for the country. So you pray for the country. And so I did that. Now, it is hard, though, to do a fast. It's not fun. 28 days into this fast, I started it on January the 1st. 28 days into it, this was about 10 years ago, was the fourth Sunday in January. You know what happens the fourth Sunday in January? Super Bowl. You know why you watch the Super Bowl? The commercials. And all the commercials are about food. I'm sitting there. We went over to a friend's house. We had about 10 or 15 people. And he has one of those theater rooms. He had this huge screen. I was watching 3-foot tacos in front of me on this screen. And the group that I was with, they were doing the 40-day fast too, but they were doing vegetables only, which is fine. You do whatever the Lord leads you to do. The only problem is that they began reasoning among themselves that popcorn was a vegetable. And in this theater room where we were, they had one of those old-fashioned popcorn machines in the room. So they, and I'm over it, you can tell, I'm just over it, I've forgiven them. They popped popcorn, put butter on it, and ate it while I was watching these 3-foot tacos. So here's my point. Fasting is not fun. It's not something in the flesh that we want to do. But it is something that draws us closer to God. It builds our faith. Now, please hear me on this. Fasting is not for God's benefit. Doesn't help God at all. It's for my benefit. Listen to me carefully. Fasting does not earn God's favor. I don't whip myself so I can get His favor. Jesus was already whipped for me. I've already got His favor. What fasting does is builds my faith so I can walk with God better or so that I can have a breakthrough in an area. Please understand, if there's something going on in your life, don't do a fast so you can twist God's arm. Because we don't have to twist God's arm. His arm was already twisted and a nail was put through it for us. We have His favor. This does not teach us that there are some situations that are more difficult for God. Because when Jesus cast the spirit out, it left just like that. So this doesn't teach us there are situations more difficult for God. What this teaches us is that there are situations that require more effort on our part. You understand? And the effort is the faith. And the way we build our faith is by pulling back from the world and pushing into God. Prayer and fasting. Now, here's the third thing I want to show you about this story. Jesus likes to give people their lives back. He likes to give people their lives back. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, I've been reading through, looking at all these encounters. All of these people that came up to Jesus had a situation in their life that was stealing their joy, stealing their happiness, stealing their peace, and He gave them their lives back. For 3 years, He walked around on this earth and gave people their lives back. Just think about this. A leper, a prostitute, a criminal, one dying on the cross. He's dying on the cross, and Jesus said, today, not tomorrow, today, you'll be with me in paradise. He gives him life right there, gives him eternal life on the day he's dying physically. He does this constantly. This boy had no life. This man, if he was older, had no life. He'd had this since childhood. He would have seizures and he would foam at the mouth. What kind of life is that? Foam at the mouth, and he would be in so much pain he gnash his teeth, is what the Bible says. He would gnash his teeth or grind his teeth because of the pain. And here's something that a lot of people don't even catch. This spirit threw him into fires. Fires. This boy, this man, had burns all over his body from being thrown into a fire and landing and rolling on the coals, on the burning logs. He's got scars. He's got places where his flesh was literally burned off of his body, because we know, it says it right here, this Father says, this spirit has tried to drown him and thrown him into the fire to try to kill him. This boy probably didn't go to birthday parties growing up. He wouldn't. Why would you invite this boy? Who knows what he's going to do? Who knows when he's going to go crazy? Everyone knows he's got a demonic spirit. He can't control it. He probably was mocked and made fun of. Everyone would point and laugh when he'd walk down the street. He dealt with tremendous rejection. Don't you think he would deal with rejection? This boy is just so mocked, ridiculed, made fun of. People laugh at him. People make fun of him. And he can't control it. He can't do anything to control it. And Jesus says to this spirit, come out of him. Now here's a part that some people don't catch. And enter him no more. This spirit never went back in that boy. You know why? Because Jesus gave him his life back. I'm reading it all through the Bible. Jesus gives people their lives back. But you know how I know that another way I know that Jesus gives people their lives back? Because he gave me my life back. 20 years from now, you'll still be hearing this from me. I was lost. I was messed up. I should not be here. I should not be the pastor of this church. I should not even be in, I shouldn't be in ministry. Jesus looked down and said, even though you don't deserve it, and I don't, even though you don't deserve it, I'm going to give you your life back. Here's the good news. He wants to do that for you. He wants to do that for you. He wants to give you your life back. Now here's my question for you. What's tormenting you? This illness was tormenting this boy. This deaf and dumb spirit was tormenting this boy. What spirit is tormenting you? Is it your past? Is it guilt? Is it condemnation? Is it shame? Is it anger? Is it bitterness? Is it unforgiveness? Is it resentment? Is it something in your marriage? Is it something that from your past you hope is never discovered or never comes up? Is it something that right now that you just can't get over? Is it a physical issue? Is it an emotional issue? What is it? What's tormenting you? Think about it. What is tormenting you? Now here's the good news. Jesus can take care of it. Amen. This father put an if on Jesus. I don't know if you noticed that. The father said, if you can help us, please do something. He puts an if. Here's the if he put. He put an if on his ability. He said, if you can, if you have the ability, if you're able, would you help us? If you remember where we started in this series, the leper put an if on his willingness. He said, if you're willing, I know you can. If you're willing. Do you realize this is here? Why can't we cast this spirit out? Because of your unbelief. This is the unbelief that attacks every one of us. Either God's not able or He's not willing. I want you to notice that Jesus turned the if around. One, the leper says, if you're willing. The father says, if you're able. Jesus said, no, 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 no. It's not if I, it's if you. If you can believe, I'm able. And the father makes the greatest statement in the world in the Bible. This is a great statement. I believe. Help my unbelief. That's the statement I'm asking you to make today. I know I'm dealing with unbelief, but I believe. Lord, help my unbelief. One last thing. This father said to Jesus said to the father, bring him to me. Bring him to me. You realize that the father could have said, no, I've done this on all, I'm going to do it. I mean, we've been down here and now there's a crowd gathering and the scribes are rebuking me and telling me, see, we told you this guy's not the Messiah. And I have embarrassed my son enough. I'm not going to do it. This father had a choice. Jesus said, bring him to me. Here's the great thing. He did. And I would like to say to every parent that's here that's going through something with your children, keep bringing them to Jesus. In prayer. Keep taking them to the Lord, because the Lord is not only able, He's willing to help them. I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes. What's the Holy Spirit saying to you? What is tormenting you? Is there something tormenting you today? Is there a spiritual attack against you? Is there a spiritual attack against your family? What's the answer? To pull back from the world and to push into God. Some of you are here today and you would describe yourself as being away from God right now. Maybe far from God. Maybe you grew up in church and you've gotten away from God. Will you come back to God? I'm asking you today, will you come to God? Some of you would say, you know, if I were honest, if I died today, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven. Why would you leave church and not know for sure? The Bible says you can know. You can know. These things are written that you may know that you have eternal life in Christ Jesus. What we're going to do in just a moment is we're going to give you an opportunity to have someone pray with you about whatever in your life you need to give to God. Whatever it is. In just a moment, I'm going to pray. And after I pray, we're going to stand and we're going to sing one chorus. And at that time, as soon as we stand, the leaders who are here that serve in on our ministry team, when we stand, those leaders are just going to make their way here to the front. And you just step out and come with them. The others will be coming. Just step out and come with them and come to one of us at the front and say, I need to give my life to God. I don't want to straddle the fence anymore. I need to get right with God. Or I have a situation in my family. I'm being attacked. I need prayer. If you're a believer here today and you need prayer for something, I'm going to encourage you to come, because you may encourage an unbeliever to come, someone who needs to give his life to the Lord. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to pray. After I pray, then we're going to stand. And as soon as we stand, I want you just to step out and come. And our ministry team will step out and come at that same time. And we're going to be here at the front to minister to you. Holy Spirit, I pray that you will give every person the courage that needs to come, to step out and come. In Jesus' name, amen.